Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our call line, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark, how's the podcast going?
The podcast is going well, man. I appreciate it. Have a hilarious one on today. Great football stuff, but really ridiculous. So you're going to want to watch it. Check it out on YouTube as well. It is on there at The Stinkin' Truth. But I guarantee you'll be educated and fully entertained. But don't tell my wife. I can't have her listening to it because I said some things today. She's over there on the couch. I said some things today that will have me on the couch if she actually heard it. So, guy code. Hey, this is between us. In New Orleans, you and I, right now, don't break guy code. Do not share this with the boss of me because it'll get me in trouble.
Mark, been there, done that already. So I get you 100%. Man, you'd like watching the Saints play this weekend. They ran the football. Now, Buffalo Bills are El Stinko, stopping the run. Every team they played this year has kind of pounded it at them. But the Saints did it too, and I think maybe for the first time in the Kellen Moore time frame here, which is short, they showed an identity that I think Kellen Moore will continue to work with in running the football and with Alvin Kamara, Kendra Miller. And they, you know, when you average 5.6 yards a carry, Mark, you're doing your job. And, okay, it's not because you got some fans throw the ball all over the field. Okay, you get your quarterback beat up and knocked it tomorrow doing that. You know how you get an opportunity is by controlling the tempo of a game and running it. And for the first time in the Kellen Moore time frame, we saw it against the Bills.
Yeah, and they were tied. That game was tied all the way through until the fourth quarter. You know, I mean, it was a good tight game. So, you look at it, man, there's a formula there. There's a formula for winning. And especially when, let's face it, man, you still are in the just in the talent procurement phase of the organization, right? You got to get more talented. And that's, hey man, that's just part of the deal, right? That's part of the deal. Right. It's a cyclical nature of football. And, you know, you've got some great years and you have some down years and you got to figure it out. So, but that's a great way to be able to compete, great way to be able to continue to fight, and a great way to support, you know, young quarterbacks who don't have a lot of experience and give them the best chance to win. Here's what I love about what the Saints did. It doesn't just feel to me like Kellen Moore, you know, is doing what a lot of teams or a lot of people out there, a lot of fans are like, hey, we got to, you know, we just got to tank so we can get a good college quarterback. Like, let me just tell you this. You don't know which ones are going to be good. You don't know which ones. Everybody said that Caleb Williams was a generational talent. How has he looked so far? And it hasn't been very good. And I understand that it's still young, right? It's still very early in his career, but you just don't know. You don't know. And so ultimately, to me, the best thing you do is fight, continue to try to learn how to win, because that to me is far more important, learning how to win and developing that culture of accountability. And those things are far more important to me than, boy, we're going to go after this college kid that we have no idea whether he's going to be good at this level or not.
Mark, in a strange game, because of the fact the Saints this coming Sunday play the Giants, I have no idea what the Chargers were doing in that game when they run the football only 13 times against a team that's 28th against the run in the NFL, and you throw it 41 times. But I want to have your kind of talk about that, because sometimes game plans, man, you got to throw them away. It's just a bad game plan all the way across the board. But secondly, you look at that Giants team and where they really good, it's the defensive line. Yeah. So your comments on Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, man, you see Abdul Carter making an impact now as an edge rusher. We saw what he did at Penn State. But, man, if I'm the Saints, I see that film. I got to run the football against the Giants. But your thoughts on a team that's not good against the run, what you trying to do, trick them? And your thoughts on Big Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns and that crew the Giants have?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I did Carolina, and you think about Carolina. I mean, they had two first-rounders for Brian Burns. They turned it down in a year. I think it was a year later. They traded him for a second-rounder, and that guy's a legitimate big-time pass rusher. So I just like, you know, they were complaining about, oh, we don't have a franchise quarterback. Well, you had both Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold in your building, and both those guys are excelling right now. So maybe it's just the franchise. But listen, man, Brian Burns is flat out rushing the passer. Thibodeau is rushing the passer. You talked about Abdul Carter rushing the passer. And Sexy Dexy, man, is that dude is a beast on the inside. So the strength of that football team is that front seven, is that defensive line, is their ability to put pressure on your quarterback. And it was such a it's such a non-Jim Harbaugh situation. You know, it almost feels like, hey, we're going to get – you know, we know they're going to try to stop our run game, so let's throw it over the top of them, and then we'll get back to it. And then all of a sudden, you get into a game where you don't get back to it. Nothing seems to be working. They stop you a couple times, and then, you know, the next thing you knew, you look at a couple possessions, say, hey, man, you know, we throw a pick here. Dexy almost takes one for a touchdown, you know, and then you're like, oh, you completely get out of the game plan. And it just – it happens occasionally. But I'm surprised it happened because, you know, the one thing we know about the Giants is they can flat get after your quarterback. And then they had a, you know, a rookie quarterback who only threw for 100 yards. But I'm telling you what, and I believe it, Jackson Dart, man, brought a ton of energy. And his ability to make it 11-on-11 football when it comes to running the ball. And, you know, the first touchdown was a design QB draw. And you just saw, like you saw Brian Daboll just hugging and like the excitement and also the connection that he had with his young quarterback. It just looked like a different football team. And one of your guys, one of your LSU guys, Malik Nabers, tears his ACL. Terrible. Have you seen, by the way, have you seen how many torn ACLs have happened at MetLife Stadium over the last, you know, three seasons or so?
Mark, since 2014, the Giants have used either a first or second round pick on a receiver or a tight end. Six of those sevens have torn up that ACL on MetLife.
Yeah, I mean, I would like if I am them, I'm looking at what is going on there, why this happens, and we got to, you know, we got to change the turf, we got to change the field. You know, I don't know what it is, but man, that's unacceptable.
Insider Calls with Mark Slareff are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Your thoughts are on a tie game in the NFL. To me, okay, we shouldn't see that. And it was an entertaining game, certainly between the Cowboys and the Packers. And it goes to show how bad the secondary is for the Packers, because if you can block Micah and Rashawn Gary, they're vulnerable at the cornerback position. And man, how much more could you ask for Dak Prescott to do for the Cowboys? I think he's having a tremendous season, but, you know, their defense isn't very good either. But your thoughts on the tie situation in the NFL? I don't think you should ever have a tie in the NFL.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's the fans' fault, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because you guys – I mean, it's your fault. It's not my fault. It's the people listening right now. It's your fault. So just accept it. Because you know what? Josh Allen didn't get to touch the ball in an overtime scenario. And they're like, oh, it's not fair. I mean, listen, did any of your parents parent you? Didn't your parents tell you, hey, man, life ain't fair?
That's
it
right.
It's fair. Sudden death is awesome. I talk about it on the Stink of Truth podcast today. Sudden death is incredible, right? It's great. And you guys are so soft. You know, I sat in a lot of meeting rooms for 12 years where we talked about, hey, man, it's three phases, all three phases. It's special teams, it's offense, and it's defense. Hey, if the other team gets the ball, here's a novel concept. Defense, stud up and stop them. Oh, no, our defense couldn't stop them. And now our quarterback didn't get to touch the ball. You guys are a bunch of whiners. And you know what? Your whining, your incessant whining is what created this. And I loved sudden death overtime. I thought it was the way to go. And that's on you guys. So you know what? Own it. And just know that sometimes games are going to end in a tie. It doesn't happen very often, but it sucks that it did. I mean, it stinks.
Yeah, Mark, I wanted to hop in and get back to the Giants here and ask you about Cam Scatabu, who kind of got just into the situation because of the injury to Tyrone Tracy, and it was supposed to be like a 1A, 1B thing, but he's been receiving a bulk of the carries ever since that injury to Tracy, former fourth-round pick out of Arizona State. And Mike and I had talked about him in the pre-draft process, and everyone kind of got on his radar as soon as that playoff matchup against Texas happened, but he really had an awesome final season with the Sun Devils. He ends up going on day three, which was a little bit of a slide for him because a lot of people figured that he was a top five running back in a very, very talented running back class this past year. He's just a bulldozer, man. He runs with so much passion, and he's very fun to watch. But I just want to get your early kind of evaluation of what you've seen from Kant Scataboo ever since he's really kind of become the Giants RB1.
I think he's been awesome. And, you know, it just goes to show you what a farce the combine is. And, you know, the thing I hate about NFL personnel people and executives is they are cowards. And they're so worried about checking boxes. They're so worried about 40 times and vertical jumps and, you know, the size of your hands. And, you know, what do we hear coming out of the draft with the left tackle of the Patriots, Campbell? What do we hear? Oh, his
short arms.
Short. Yeah, who gives a rip? Can he play? Yeah. I mean, he comes off the ball the first play of the game last weekend against Carolina and just absolutely shortens somebody's neck. Like, he's a football player. And you can see whether a guy's a football player or not. And you knew that about Cam Scataboo. But, you know, you get scared and you don't want to be the executive. It takes a guy before, you know, we put him at this number. He's the third rounder or fourth rounder. And ultimately, all he does is, every time you watch him in college, all he did was play. All he did was run people over. All he did was catch the ball. All he did was be productive. But, you know, we've got a bunch of cowards that'll be like, well, he didn't run quite a fast enough 40. And I just think it's so silly. Like, if you can run a really fast 40, you know, that makes you fast. If you can bench press 225 a bunch of times, you know what? That makes you a good bench presser. It doesn't have any impact or bearing. Like, do yourself a favor. Anybody listening right now, go look up the 10 top bench press numbers of all time. And I'll show you 10 guys who weren't worth a squirt of piss in the National Football League.
And a lot of those guys are one and done. They play a year or two out the league.
Absolutely. But they're impressive in the weight room. You know what we used to call those guys? First off the bus guys. Yeah. Send them first off the bus, right? Intimidate everybody. Put them in a tight T-shirt and a pair of shorts. You know, make it like, oh, my God, look how big and thick that guy is. But then don't put him in the game because he can't play. Send him first off the bus, but don't put him in the game. And, you know, and that's what, like, a lot of times that's what the NFL Combine is to me. And I think it's silly. And part of me just thinks it's sad that's what we do.
Mark, it's crazy. You do work out in Philadelphia and you hear all these people complaining about the offense that the Eagles run. Now, I've seen this now three straight years. What you complain about? You went to a couple Super Bowls, you win one with it, and you know it's all about winning. But then late in the game, you know, Baker Mayfield's got a shot here late. Okay, he throws one interception, man, then he gets run over on one play. He's trying to throw the football, and the Eagles are all over him in that particular spot. But what the Eagles do, I guess people would say it's old-school football. You know what it is? It's wins. I don't see what's all this furor about with, oh, well, they got to throw the ball more to A.J. Brown. You don't hear Devontae Smith complain about it. It's about, isn't this a bottom line business of winning? This is a lot having to do with fantasy football for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, I said all the time, wide receivers, like, they're just, they're like children. They're totally dependent on the other 10 guys doing their job. And you know, if they're not fed, they whine and cry and piss and moan all the time. So, you know, there's an overvalue in the league, and it's fantasy football, about what wide receivers actually do. And listen, man, I love a dude that is always open and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, man, like, to really win in this league, look at Cincinnati. I mean, they load up on wide receivers. They've got two of the best in the business. You know, you put those two, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, against any two in the league. How good are they? They can't block anybody. I mean, you can put wide receivers. You might as well corner the market. Get every wide receiver. Hey, trade A.J. Brown to Cincinnati, right? Ultimately, you know what you're going to win? Nothing. You're not going to win anything because you can't keep your quarterback upright. And you look at Cincinnati, like, what, you talk about a waste, just wasting Joe Burrow, who's one, in my opinion, I think he's the best quarterback in football. And you're just wasting. The guy's hurt all the time. You make him sit in shotgun 96% of the time. And teams just tee off on the guy. And, you know, the last 2 years, they haven't made the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. Joe Burrow's sitting out. He's had multiple injuries because you don't protect him. It's just, what a clown show. Just a clown show. So understand how a football team that wins is built. And if you're built that way and you're a wide receiver, quit crying because winning is what you're supposed to be there for.
Mark, always love to have you on. I know one thing. I don't have to ask you, but one question, you give a good opinion. Sometimes I got to have people on here, you know, for 30 minutes. They don't give me a good opinion. You do it in about 2 minutes. Man, love to have you on, brother.
Thank you, man. You guys be well, all right?
Thanks, Mark.
All righty. That was Odyssey, NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark is the host of the Odyssey original, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.